Welcome to the Healthy Coaches Podcast, where we give you the lowdown on all you need to know about nutrition, lifestyle, fitness, and relationships. It's me, Coach Aisling, with Coach Roisin, your show host for today's episode of The Healthy Coaches. So welcome to episode 2 of the Healthy Coaches Podcast. And I'm here with my lovely co-host, Coach Aisling. How are you doing, Aisling?
Hey, Roche. I'm really good, thanks. I'm delighted to be recording another episode for all of our lovely listeners again today. I think that this is going to be a great podcast. So I'm ready to get straight into it.
Yeah, and me too. So excited to get going on this. And ladies, Aisling and I call this podcast What It Feels Like to Be Fat. So I guess, Aisling, how this episode came about was that Aisling, you and I had just finished our introductory episode and we talked about our background and our history of being unhealthy and overweight and, you know, going through many years of binging and dieting and binging and dieting. And, you know, after we finished the episode, we just spent some time talking through our feelings and thoughts. And God, the experiences that we had during those really difficult times. And you know, Aisling, you know, one of the things that we kept saying to ourselves was that when we were in those dark times of our lives, you know, we really felt as though we were all alone, like, and Aisling, like there was something wrong with us, you know, like that our behavior was extremely abnormal and weird, you know.
Exactly.
Oh, so what we said we'd do was we'd come here and talk through some of the experiences that we had during that time and, you know, the emotions and the thoughts and the feelings that we were going through. So, you know, if so, that if you're someone who's struggling right now, like, you know, perhaps with your weight or you're not happy with your body or you're going through these cycles of dieting and overeating and dieting and overeating, then, you know, this could be a really great episode for you to listen to. And the thing is, ladies, we're not going to give any particular solutions during this chat, but at the same time we're going to really dig deep into some of our, I suppose, most embarrassing stories, you know, some of our worst binges. On a darker note, some of our more, you know, harsh self, kind of self down on self
times.
And the darker thoughts we've had about ourselves, you know, and I guess some of the hardest trials we had during our binging days and overeating days, Aisling.
So
these things, you know, these are things, guys, that we've never really revealed to anyone until now. So we hope that by going through our stories, you'll at least see that you are totally normal and that you're not alone and that there are so many people out there going through what you're going through. Like, so actually, I have the coffee ready. I'm kind of sweating just thinking about starting this, but
me too.
You know, will you no, but you know, I need you to be brave now. Will you start us off, maybe?
Okay. I've got my cup of tea here as well, so we kind of have to dig deep.
Hot drinks always required.
Yeah, it's like, what you think? I'm sweating already, so why would I be drinking a hot drink? But anyway, I suppose, Roche, as you said, in episode 1, so the episode just before this, I explained how I was at my heaviest. I was over 3 stone overweight. So I guess I'll start at that period because that was the most painful period for me. You know, I was really, Roisin, I was the heaviest out of all social groups throughout my life. You know, any group of friends that I had from when I was younger to when I was in my early teens to my late teens, all the friends that I made along the way, I was always the fat one out of the group. I was always the heaviest one, and I always felt like I was the one who stuck out like a sore thumb because of my size, and because of my fatness, really.
I hear you, girl.
So to feel like the fat one out of the group throughout your whole life, to be always that person, is very, very, very difficult. It's very painful. You are constantly left with these thoughts that you're different to everybody else, that there's something wrong with you, and just basically like the oddball, the odd one out. You know, I can remember, Roisin, probably for me, the most difficult times about being the fat one out of the group was I constantly felt sad about not being able to wear the same, you know, in fashion things throughout the years that came into fashion.
I totally know.
I always felt like really sad about not being able to wear, like, you know, when flare jeans came out, or when skinny jeans came out, or jeans with the embellishment on the pockets, which are so sick when I think back about
what those. Do you mean? I have 10 pairs, Ashing. Don't you down those.
Like River Island jokes. Jeans were a big one for me when I was younger. So to not be able to look good in those and to be able to buy those jeans and to fit into them like all my friends always left me in a place of like real deep sadness. And basically just the odd one out. It feels so terrible to be the odd one out all the time. And, you know, when I think back as well, Roisin, to when I was younger, the borrowing of the clothes when my friends used to swap around clothes.
Oh, stop. Yeah. You would never be able to. Yeah.
I never was able to be able to contribute or to wear anyone else's clothes. It was always like I had to, you know, pick from my own stash of ugly clothes that I always thought they were ugly clothes, and I was never able to mix and match with anyone else. So that was another thing that kind of left me feeling isolated from the group.
Actually, and that's a big deal, especially when you're going out, like, and you're all swapping the outfits. And do you know what I always remember about that as well? Like, you know, people would ask you, oh, Roche, you can borrow anything of mine. And I'd be like, you're two friggin' sizes smaller than me. Will you just stop? Don't even pretend that I can fit into something of yours, you know?
It's that awkward. It's that awkward kind of a moment when it's like, okay, girls, just like take whatever you want, or, you know, like wear whatever you want of mine. And it's like, my leg isn't even going to fit into those jeans.
Oh,
so
stop.
Let's stop pretending.
Oh my God, Ashing, there's so many things at the friend group. I just think it's a big such a deal, because you know what, the other thing, like let's say aside from that even trying on clothes situation, like, you know, or not being able to borrow clothes, like for me it was like, you know, I have to say I found there were so many issues, but one of them was like, you know, kind of going into the group and, you know, this kind of feeling of like, you know, anxiety about like, oh my God, the girls are going to see me. And you know what, they're obviously definitely judging me, because they're like, you know, God, you know, because I was either, you know, Ashing, basically I was either publicly, you know, on a diet, or, you know, like in front of my friends, basically I was always usually on a diet. And then like, well, I used to be thinking, they must know I'm secret eating, like they must be, and they must be like, why has she let herself go, why isn't she doing anything, you know? And even Ashing, you know, even when I was trying to eat well, like I was so embarrassed to be eating clean, because like I really thought, like, you know, they are, you know, as I said, they think I'm secret eating or whatever. And then you know, it's, you know, it's just that whole thing, like you mentioned in your story at the start about being the funny friend as well, Ashing, like, you know,
oh my God, yeah, getting by on humour was really my thing.
And
making people laugh, because as I said in episode one, I had to find, you know, a niche for myself to fit in. And I saw an opening in the market to be funny. So that was kind of what I used to get by on. And I said previously that I had to find something that I felt like people... If I didn't look like everyone else, and if I didn't feel like skinny and thin, and I couldn't wear the in fashion clothes and the up to date things, I felt like I needed something else for people to like me. So my thing was cracking jokes about myself and about loads of other things, but I do to self-deprecate as well a lot.
Ashing, self-deprecation is my little, like, literally was my middle name, like, and I still have to get over a little bit, Ashing. It was such a habit that I'd ingrained in myself. I literally self-deprecated a sick amount, like, and I also think, like, you know, see, and I've had clients say this to me, like, and I really resonated with the whole thing, is like, you sometimes you self-deprecate because it's kind of like you're controlling, like you feel that people could criticize you, so if you say it first, if you say the bad thing about yourself first, you're kind of controlling the criticism, so you criticize yourself before anyone else has a chance to criticize you.
Definitely.
And actually, let's be honest,
that's actually a great point. You get there before anybody else.
Get them, get
at
there
least
before.
If you're saying it about yourself, it doesn't feel as bad, but if somebody says something bad about you, it feels 10 times worse. So you, it's like you beat them to it by self-deprecating
Absolutely.
Yourself.
And you know, God forbid, you do not want people to. And also the other thing is, like, with the whole humor thing, like, you're trying to, you're like, please don't know that I need to keep up this facade that I'm okay, and I don't want anyone to know that I'm in bits emotionally and internally,
emotionally
and I don't know I hate myself right now. Yeah, do you know, like, absolutely. You know, who wants to do that kind of stuff, Aisling? You know?
Oh my God, it's terrible. But do you know yeah. where she, you know, like the friend side of things was super tough, and that was really hard. But another thing that I found when I was fat, like yeah. one of the toughest things that I used to have to go through was the shopping and the changing room experience.
The shopping, sick.
Oh my God, it was like, do you know the way everybody, like all women, okay, all women really do love to shop, and women love to shop when they feel like they're in shape and things are going to look nice on yeah. them anyway. When I had to pretend that I used to like shopping like everybody else and doing the whole girly thing and going in and trying on different things, I would have rather stabbed myself in the eye with a pen. Like, it was, I swear to God, it was honestly the most, it was such an experience that I was so fearful of doing. It was just, the things that would freak me out the most would be I would start sweating in the shops because I would get so ramped up with nerves that I would have to do that whole thing where all of us pick something in the shop and we go into the changing room and then you hear your friend say, have you got it on yet, or are you ready, and then you're in there behind the curtain huffing and puffing, you're sweating all over the place, and I just used to sit down on the puff and I'd be like, oh my God, this is just the worst ever. And they'd be like, are you really ready, are you done, and I'm like,
and the fear of God to be in your chest, the thoughts of facing them, like,
oh my God, it used to just be the worst. And then the whole thing about, like, I mean, there's mirrors everywhere in shops, and then if I catch a glimpse of myself in the mirror, and I just get more upset, and it was just a whole thing that I just would love to have avoided.
Aisling, with those bloody mirrors, sure, when you're a normal weight you look like a weirdo in those, like, I feel like so rotten in those changing room mirrors, whether I'm at my ideal weight or not. So God knows, when you're overweight, it's actually this whole, like, it's like some sort of, it's like walking in, do you know, it's like that horror freaking mirror place, you know, walking in, it's like such a house of horrors,
Yeah, exactly, in those like carnival type things. Yeah.
But do you know, Aisling, you were saying you were even went shopping with friends. It was too painful for me, Aisling. I would never go shopping with friends. I'd always go alone shopping because I couldn't cope with that pressure of them asking me, was I ready yet? Because it actually became too pressurizing when women were looking at me. So, like, I honestly, the same experience as you, I used to be in, and I used to be, honest to God, sweating and getting, and honestly, Aisling, the amount of times I'd be getting that, you know, that bloody lump in your throat because you're just feeling like nothing is fitting me and nothing looks well. Because I am still a woman and I'd like to buy something, so I'd resign and I'd buy a scarf or a hat, but I could never buy anything for my actual.
Never said a truer word.
Oh my God, do you remember, like, that accessories? I bought loads of accessories during that time.
Come out with a scarf because scarves don't discriminate.
Yes. Oh my God, 100%.
But that's so true. I used to be exactly the same. I'd buy more accessories and scarves and hats and gloves because.
And can I just say, on this total aside, ladies, just so you'll know, Aisling and I will laugh through this podcast, but as we talked about our self-deprecation and using humour, honestly, to get to our most painful stuff, we always use humour. So that's why we're kind of laughing about this, but it wasn't funny at all.
Yeah, we do stumble through a good bit with laughing, but it actually, underlying, it's very painful, really.
Most painful time in our lives. Yeah. Okay, so, go ahead.
It's like we nervously laugh when we talk about this stuff because, again, and I suppose we are putting ourselves out there too, and this is kind of very deep stuff, so like, even Roisin, I remember when I would kind of get out of the shopping with friends, and when I'd actually have to, if I had an event coming up, or like if I was going to a wedding, or if I had to go somewhere and I had had to buy an outfit to go, then what I would do was I would make sure that I would leave with my headphones and my iPod, and I would plug in my headphones going into various shops so the sales assistant would not come near me to ask me, you know, are you okay? What size do you need? Maybe if you want to try this or try that. So I was very, very, very closed off when I would go into shops by myself. I didn't want to have to interact with anyone. I didn't want anybody coming over offering their help or their assistance. reasons. I just wanted to go in, get the deed done, and get home ASAP and order like a Chinese or something, you know.
As you do, to keep stuff the feelings down. Oh, Ashley, and you just said that you just are tipped on that point of, like, you know, shopping for an event. Oh my God, shopping for an event, what a total nightmare.
What,
like,
a dose.
I'll tell you, total dose, event, anything. Like, one of the things that sticks with me, like, you know, I at the time, Ashley, I lived in leggings because, you know, the way the thing is, this is the thing, you live in leggings because, you know, it's so comfortable and you're feeling so bad in your body. But, like, then ironically, like, leggings don't look, you know, fundamentally, God, I don't, like, they only look well, really. I don't know, Ashley, but I just think, like, it's so hard to get away with leggings unless you're, like, really skinny mini and you really have to have your ass covered in them. But the gist is, you know, like, oh my God, when you were, I was thinking about when I was prepping for, you know, the interview, you know, an interview at the time. I was overweight still, and, like, my, you know, I was staying over in a hotel in Dublin with my good friend, and she was, like, real slimy mini, and she had this gorgeous Zara, like, white dress, like, you know, really nice for ready for the interview. And I was, like, after, like, buying this black dress that I had to absolutely beat myself into, like, and it was, like, this whole idea that, you know, wearing leggings versus wearing structured, when I had to get something structured and tight, like, I was so, like, sweaty going into the, you know, the interview. It was like, again, that, like, you know, oh, you just want to be comfortable and, like, the thoughts, but you know what I mean?
I know. Do you know the thing about the leggings as well, Roisin, and like why I wore them so much is that they were, like, pretty much the only thing that wouldn't dig into my belly, like, that they wouldn't hurt me. And, you know, my good friend Dr. Teresa, our good friend Dr. Teresa, you know, she made this joke saying that you know, leggings, they're like made out of spandex, so they stretch with you. So she said, we need to stop calling them leggings and we need to start calling them expandex, because leggings expand with your body.
I know.
So, I mean, you feel safe in leggings because the expandex in them will move with you, and they'll never give you that pinch to say, hold on a second, you need to pull back on, you know, the old takeaways, or you need to pull back on the old, you know, loaf of bread or whatever. They don't discriminate, you know, they're a type of clothing that just kind of go with the flow.
Yeah, actually, and you know, and you said this to me before, like, when we were prepping for this podcast. But you remember you were saying, like, you know, the jeans are stuck into your tummy, like, the thoughts of wearing jeans, like, you've red marks everywhere because you're so, you know, nailed
into
them.
Oh my God, like, purpley red marks around your belly from, like, squeezing into jeans. Oh my God,
it's so rotten. Do you know what? Ashley, you know, I was just thinking, because it was something I wanted to say when we were talking about the friends group thing, you know, and it was such a big deal. You know, the way, as, like, the woman, you obviously want to feel like, you know, you have, like, a sense of, you want to feel, like, good in your friend group. And as I said, if you feel like the fat friend in the group, you feel like that's one thing, you feel bad about yourself, etc. But you know what the other thing was? I was saying, like, Ashley, a big deal for me was, like, I felt I had nothing, kind of, when you're in the chats with the girls, and, like, back in college, Ashley, like, you know, loads of the chats for women. Like, I think about women when you have children, loads of the chats with women is about their children and stuff. But when you don't have children, all the chats is about, like, I don't want to give the lads a big head, God knows if there's lads listening to this, but, like, loads of the chats are about lads, you know. And
I'm sure we have a big lad following.
Yeah, and definitely. But anyway, but the gist is, oh my God, Ashley, so every chat was about lads. And this was the thing, like, at that time, like, you know, I was so, like, Ashley, I was really, you know, I was not in any place, like, I was, as I said, getting a little isolated, and I'm not in a place where I even was next or near thinking about being near any lads. And at the time, all the stories revolved around lads, and I never had a story. So I never had anything to add to the chat of the group. So, you know, at the time, because I felt like the weird in the group, and I wasn't going out as much as the rest of the girls, like, and not only that, but then I felt like, you know, I don't even have anything to add, like, and then that'd compound the whole thing of, like, you know, they won't want me to be in their group anymore. They don't want to be friends with me because I have nothing to say.
Yeah, you're,
you know?
Like, what am I bringing to the group? What do I ever bring to the table? Yeah, I know what you mean.
And with the soul, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no, but and I so totally get that with the whole lads thing as well. And
and even just not going out in general, Ashing, I didn't go out, you know, so it's really like, and they'd bond on nights out that I was never on, you know. But anyway, go ahead, sorry. Yeah, the lad thing, yeah.
But you know, as well, like when you're grown up as well, and you're fatter than everyone else, and you're bigger and you're different. I don't know if like this is the way that you felt, or if anyone else out there felt like this. But I always felt super self-conscious when it came to lads, and that whole kind of like kissing and like going out and all that kind of stuff. I always felt like I wouldn't want. Okay, this is kind of sad, but I wouldn't want to ruin a boy's reputation by them liking me or wanting to kiss me or anything like that, because I wouldn't want their reputation. I wouldn't want that for them, because I wouldn't want their reputation or anything to be at stake for liking the fat girl or having been with the fat girl.
And what did you think they would have got slagged? Is that what you felt?
Well, like, yeah, and that's kind of what would be going through my head. Like, yeah. I wouldn't want them getting like a slagging from the other lads, because inadvertently that was slagging me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
as well,
so
that was
brutal. Yeah.
That was all like, oh my god, how could you go near her? Or, you know, that sounds really harsh. But that's kind of what goes through. Well, that's what went through my head anyway when I was in my fat days. And so again, like, I was great at finding little niches in the market to try and, you know, bring myself along with everyone else. So I was the little fat matchmaker, and I would set other people up. So again, there we go, laughing through it, but that was the truth. So that's how I used to get through things.
That was how you made
it. It kept me in the old loop
wordy.
As well, you know?
Yeah, you're involved. Like, no matter what, it's just like keeping involved, like, definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, so. Aisling, that is, you know, and it is so difficult as a woman. Like, sure, there is constant comparison, Aisling. I'm even thinking about Facebook back then. God, when I was looking at all the women on Facebook and them all going out, and you're so, like, under pressure about how you feel so rotten looking at your friend's Facebook pages and stuff, don't you?
Oh my god, definitely. The fear as well of like being tagged in
the fear of being tagged.
You look super fat.
Oh my god, Aisling. Any kind of photo is like you'd be trying to hide yourself in behind everyone else. It wasn't do you remember that kind of stuff?
The sweat would pump. Like, you would like log on to Facebook or something, and when you see like 5 notifications after like having been out, when you know somebody had a camera.
Oh my god.
And it's like, oh shit, here we go. Thump, thump, thump in the chest. And it's like, oh my god, what's going to come up?
I know. But, like, sick. Isn't it so? Oh my god. And you know what, even go ahead. And the thoughts of being like, even in that time, like, if I was absolutely forced into a photo, I was like terrified to be on the edge so that people would see the size of my arm. I know.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because it's so true.
Yeah,
it was so true to my situation as well. It's so,
or trying not to have a double chin in your photos.
Yeah. Oh look,
but
a
anyway.
Shooting star.
Oh, no, I know. I never used that one. I didn't have the head for that. But yeah, no, so Aisling, basically, like, let's sum up there. It's fundamentally, it is rough being the fat friend in the group, isn't it, though?
Definitely, yeah. definitely rough.
And that's an emotional side of things, Aisling. But then there's the general, like, physical discomfort of being overweight, you know?
Oh, yeah. These were as bad as the whole mental side of things was tough, but the actual physical discomfort plus that, it's just, it's terrible. It's really, really horrible. So take me through some of your physical discomforts.
Aisling, do you right now, you, Teresa, and I actually talked about this, like the way we all, you know, we've all did a pinch in our body fat, like, you know, we all did that pinch in the body fat, but, you know, and just being like, oh, I'm so gross mentally saying that to myself. But actually, my worst thing was actually, as you know, I have small boobs. I don't have big boobs. And basically, oh my God, when I had, like, obviously was 3 stone overweight, my big boobs were way bigger. But the gist was, I used to be awesome. Now, this is terrible, but like, that's embarrassing. So people don't judge me. But anyway, I was so sweaty between my boobs, Aisling, like, and you know, even like, I felt, even Aisling, when I was like after having a shower, I never felt even clean between the boobs, like, you know, that kind of way. I always felt like they were kind of sweaty and like just my skin was rubbing against each other. And and then, oh, and you know, Aisling, then, that was one, right? That was the boobs. But the other thing was like, oh, Aisling, no, this is, no, actually, this wasn't, I will laugh, but this was actually really sad. Like, I remember being in the shower one specific day. and looking and just and actually I one I remember the first day I started it, but then I did it long term after that. But basically I used to be always like twisting in the shower to see how many lumps of fat I had on my side, and you know, just looking at the rows of fat on my body. And I remember that particular day, just I remember the lump again. I got out of the shower and the lump in my throat, and I started looking at myself in the mirror again, and I could see, you know, just my thighs were just so swollen and like so chickeny and so like, you know, just cellulite-y, Aisling. Like, they were just terrible. I was so distressed that day. Yeah. I was just remember thinking about that going back. But anyway, yeah,
like that's so true. I'd be exactly the same. We're sitting on the side of the bed in your towel, you know, drying off, and you just be kind of like looking at yourself thinking, oh my God, how am I ever going to get rid of this?
Yeah, it's so desperate.
I used to actually think, right, this is, I'm not sure if everybody used to think this, but I used to like grab, okay, when I used to sit on the side of the bed, and I used to grab my belly with both hands, and I used to think, wouldn't it be great if there was just a magic machine out there that could say, just grab what it is that you'd like to remove. And I used to like just grab with two hands and squeeze together all the fat from my belly and go, oh my God, wouldn't that just be great if I could just get rid of that?
Yeah, I definitely had like kind of fantasies about it all being chopped off, definitely. Oh God, actually, when you say that.
I know.
No, I know that I sounds know, funny, severe. But
it, you know,
but it, was,
it is. It's true.
No, Aisling. And then you were saying,
The whole, do you know probably, Roisin, when you said about looking at your thighs in the mirror coming out of the shower, and that they were all big and swollen and cellulite-y and stuff.
Yeah.
When your legs rub together, and when your thighs are so swollen and the skin between your legs starts to get red, and when your legs are rubbing together, or when you have the noise from your jeans, from your legs rubbing together. I remember, okay, most of my jeans would wear from the inside thigh. That's where they would, right in that seam, you know, the inside.
Because they're rubbing too much.
They would be rubbing so much. So that's where all of my jeans would go first, the inner thigh area. I can't tell you how many loops of, you know, the belt loops on jeans.
Yeah.
Can't tell you how many of those I broke off from pulling my jeans off.
Oh, Aisling.
You know, then when I decided, I had this great idea that I would start jogging to try and lose weight, and then I would put on the shorts
at the time.
And then like jogging, like my shorts would like ride up like crazy in between
you're
my
so
legs.
Right in exercise
and I would do this like little kick out with my legs to try and release the shorts.
Release the shorts.
Do you get that?
Absolutely. Okay. Exercise. And when I was doing that, nightmare. Oh my God, I absolutely do. I was used to do the same when I was doing that treadmill running, 100%.
Do you know what I used to say to myself when I used to do that? I used to do running. You know that dance and that song that goes da 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 da.
Oh yeah.
Kick your leg out. That's what I used to do in my head, just to try and make it a little bit less painful.
Brutal, Aisling. And you know, another thing I think, you know, is with the clothes is that like you're checking yourself all the time. You know, the way we've said that before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're constantly worried, like, you know, you're covering your back. Is my back covered? Is my belly covered? You know, and you know, like Aisling, you said it a good way. You were like yanking at yourself all the time, checking yourself. Do you remember that, all that, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean,
No
comfort whatsoever. And you know, speaking about comfort and clothes and all the rest of things and the shorts riding up the middle, I remember actually, this is just after remembering this. So back in the day, like when I say back in the day, I mean like what, maybe 11, 12 years ago now.
Right.
My parents decided that we were all going to go to Australia. So
nice.
I remember, you know, there was a big surprise and said, okay, we're going to go to Australia. It's going to be great. And we were going to Australia in their summer. So it was like, I was like, okay, right, grand. So now I have to get all of these summer clothes to pack for going to Australia. And I remember, honestly, Roisin, this is such a standout time in my life when I had to go and buy summer clothes for going to Australia, because nothing would fit me. Nothing looked good. Everything looked terrible. Everything was tight. There was fat everywhere. Shorts, desperate. So tight on my legs. Sure, I'd have no comfort in wearing shorts anyway, because they'd be all riding up the middle. So I remember, right, I had to go to, it was Dorothy Perkins, I think, because I'm sorry if there's anyone out there that likes that shop, but I do not like that shop.
But they have more generous sizes anyway, don't they, Dorothy Perkins? Yeah.
Yes. I think I don't like that shop just because of my experience anyway. So thinking back, it's just got such negative vibes for me. So I remember I had to go in there and buy these. Oh my God, they're like, when I think back, they're the most rank three quarter length, like kind of capri things, like trousers. And so like I bought three pairs. One was in white, one was in blue, and one was in like baby pink. And so like those were the things that those were three things that I had to bring to Australia because I couldn't wear shorts or anything else. I got a few t-shirts or whatever. Honestly, it was such a stressful time trying to shop for that trip. And I remember everything else, Roisin, that I brought in my suitcase was like jumpers, long sleeve t-shirts, like pants, jeans. I mean, I'm going to Australia here in the summer. What the hell was I doing packing all these clothes?
But I wanted to cover yourself.
I wanted to cover myself up. And I remember when everything was packed in and I was we were leaving to go to the airport, and I brought this, I had this like khaki kind of a jacket that I brought with fur around the hood. And I mean, what in the name of God is a girl bringing a khaki jacket with fur around the hood to Australia in the middle of summer?
Again, you're just trying to get by. But
there
anyway,
we go, couldn't be told, just trying to cover myself up. Anyway, got to the airport, got the plane over to Australia, came out the other side, and they were doing this customs thing that they do there. So anyway, my bag got pulled over to the side and your mum was like, you know, we just have to check your bag. And I was like, go ahead. This guy was checking my bag, like really healthy looking Australian guy, surfer dude, all tanned, and opened up my suitcase anyway, took everything out, nothing in there, no drugs. So as he was putting everything back into my suitcase, he was like, I think you're in the wrong country. He was like, you've picked everything for the winter. And I was like, oh
nice accent,
God.
Ash, by the way. ACW.
Didn't practice. And then he was like, yeah, he was like, you picked for the winter. He was like, you're in the wrong country. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, this is so embarrassing. So I was like, just get the stuff back into the bag. Let's get this show on the road. And I remember I left my jacket with the fur around the hood in one of those, you know, those bins that you put through the security thing.
Yeah.
And as I was walking off with my suitcase after being packed up, he calls after me and he's like, excuse me, madam. He's like, you can take your dead animal. And I was like,
oh, jiggers. That is shocking.
He's like, you poor old devil. And I was like, my God. I was like, this is so embarrassing.
Oh my God. That is so funny, Ashley. Well, no, it's not funny, but it's funny. Listen back to the moral story.
Yeah.
And Ashley, that's the whole thing. Like, you're on your Australia trips. This is the big deal. Trips and events for us during when we were fat.
God, the stress.
Instant terror if I had to do something, like, you know, like Ashley, like take like picture, like, you know, I've heard like people come back to me like and say this, like some of my coaching clients, and I've had it myself, like, now I didn't have a boyfriend during this time, but they were like, you know, the whole thing, like, but let's say, take for this example, like, let's say boyfriend comes home, like, and is like, let's go to Lanzarote for a week, and you're like, you're not like, oh yeah, love you honey, you're like, my God, like, I'm so screwed what am I gonna do? And like, even asking, what am I gonna wear, like the whole thing, I'm gonna be a beach twail, like, you know, how am I gonna cover, or even I don't have time to diet, or shit, I need to go on a crash diet now, or do you know what, Ashing, the enjoyment is sucked out of every single trip. Instead of what should be, it's all like, oh my God. No. Like I really don't know one coaching client really that says, yeah, can't wait for a trip when they're feeling bad and they're overweight, you know?
It's just this is a sense of impending doom. And then you're like, and as well for, you know, those of us who like to take loads of pictures on holidays, and it's like, you know, one of my coaching clients actually, a couple of years ago, she was saying to me that one of the saddest things is that she never gets in photos with her kids on holidays because she feels too fat, she, you know, that she feels too embarrassed as to how she would look in the photos. And she was saying, it's actually, when I think back on it, it's so sad because I actually don't have any pictures of myself with the kids on holidays. I have nothing to really look back on because I always avoid photos on holidays. Which is so flippin' sad, you know?
Yeah. And then, Aisling, I've had clients, like, and then I end up talking to them, they say, and this is, you know, I'm not into travelling, but I have women that, like, fundamentally would love to have travelled, like, you know, and they don't travel because they feel too overweight. That's something in their life that they feel they can't do because they're overweight. Yeah. Like, it's so terrible, isn't it? Like, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely holds you back from, you know, I always say that you lose a sense of freedom and a sense of spontaneity. You have no, when you have such issue with your weight, and it holds you back in so many areas of your life. And I really do. I speak for myself and for the people that I know that I coach when we work through these things. When you actually go through, you know, how much you've lost out on other things in your life, and we get to the reason and to the root of those things, it always comes back to the same thing. It's like, I feel too fat, I don't feel good in myself, I don't feel like I have the confidence to do X, Y and Z.
Yeah.
I'm too conscious, and it always comes back to that.
Absolutely, Aisling. Yeah, that is a sad thing. But anyway, we'll get on to a little bit of that loss of identity in a bit. But another thing I wanted to say, when we're keeping on the old trips and events aspect of things. Oh, the next big cincher, weddings, wedding doom.
Hello,
oh my God,
judgment day.
Judgment day. Like Aisling, I think, I don't know what it is about the weddings. And we've chatted about this before, but I think it's like, we have this idea that, like, this is the time you see your friends, or you haven't seen family in ages, or you haven't seen friends for ages, and it's when everyone gets together. And it's like, you feel like this is the snapshot. If they see me now, this is the snapshot they're going to have when they think about me going forward. They're going to think about how I looked that wedding day for the
next year.
And I'm screwed if I don't look perfect, you know?
Yeah, you're basically reading like my life book there. That's exactly the way I would think pre any wedding. It's like, haven't seen these people in a year, probably won't see them in a year's time again.
Yeah.
Is this the lasting impression? Is this impression that I leave for this day going to be their lasting impression for another year? It's like,
it's
Jesus,
so
she's really
stressful.
Let herself go. Or, you know how look, I mean, we're humans, we're social beings, we're thinking those thoughts though.
Yeah. And then, like, it's not as if, like, you know, people are past remarkable, Aisling. Like, people have comment now, see, because I am you know, it has been such a painful issue for me, but if someone says anything to me about someone's weight, I nearly lose it internally, because I'm like, excuse me, can you not comment on that? Because, you know, but anyway, like, people do make comments to each other about it, like, you know.
Absolutely. So weddings, for sure. I mean, they crop up time and time and time again with, you know, you're the same, Roisin, I'm the same with anyone that we've ever coached. Weddings is just, it can be such a bloody nightmare for people.
Yeah.
And do you know the one thing actually that I really hate about weddings is, we get so anxious and we get so anxiety ridden for this judgment day, which is the wedding, that people do the craziest things coming up to weddings. So you have, like, you know, your lipo trims, your slim fast, your shake diets, and it's like, people do the craziest things just to lose what, a stone or a stone and a half for one day. And you know,
and
that, what, Roisin,
as
Teresa says, you undo that the very weekend that you go to the wedding.
You're
back to square one in a
back
week or two after
one.
The wedding.
Absolutely. And you know what, that's even wedding guests, Aisling, not to mention the lengths that brides go to, like, you know. It's
I couldn't imagine.
But Aisling, on that wedding note, I think that's a great lead into, like, so the next thing, which is, like, you know, just the general expense of being fat. Like, you know, Aisling, when I think about getting ready for weddings, like, for me to just get something that was okay, just something to fit me properly, the amount of expense I had to spend on outfits, just not amazing outfits, Aisling, just an outfit that would fit me.
Just
I'd have to spend a fortune. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Do you know what, Roche? I'm glad that you brought this up, the expense of being fat as well, because something that I used to do, and I don't know if you did this, but I would feel like I would need to overcompensate every single
Absolutely.
Time because
yeah.
I would have to get something middle of the road, like, you know, wouldn't be necessarily something that I would love to wear, but as you said, get something that basically just fit, and then yeah. accessorize like a mofo to make yeah. up for, you know, as I said, to try and compensate for the outfit. So, you know, Jesus, going to get the curly blow dry,
yeah,
you know, the bracelets, the bag, the flipping fascinator. What I actually hate
are ashing. Some people spend insane amounts on shoes. Now, maybe it's just a case because
yes.
you like shoes, but sometimes it can be just because it's like they can't get an outfit and they're like, at least my shoes are okay, no more than the accessories thing, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. So honestly, Roisin, like in total, and I actually only really realised this when I finally was able to lose the
yeah.
weight, and when, you know, then when I was going to weddings, that you were actually wearing something that you liked. But I mean, like, you'd be talking about in excess of like 700-800 euro for a wedding with everything. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely, you know. And actually, you're 100%. And the other thing is, I remember during overcompensating during that time, like I got when I think about it, but anyway, back in college, I got hair extensions that cost me, you know, up in, what is that name of that place in Dublin?
Hairspray.
Thank you. Hairspray. 700 quid, Aisling, at the time. Like, honest to God.
Oh, my God.
Absolutely manic money. Now, and Aisling, you know I'm a curly
too. I was just
going
to say, you've got curly hair. So was that not a complete disaster
for
you?
Oh, my God. It was an absolute disaster. Which, can I just say, you know, when I think about that shower time, like, not only was the, like, hair extensions, like, totally stuck into my head and totally matted down. I was there. No, I don't know. It's funny now. No, you're so right. I actually think about that. The hair extensions, at that time, my hair extensions were totally battered down after that massive mistake. And also, I was there, like, you know, depressed and so, you know, depressed about my rolls of fat. But anyway, like, that was some of the excess of Aisling, you know. But you know, Aisling, do you know what I've said? And I've had clients say this. This is the thing, ironically, like, when the weight is in control, there's a serious, like, sense of the finances being in control. I found this with a lot of clients. They feedback that to me constantly. You know, you have a kind of a general sense of stability in your life when your food's in control. Like, I have even a client that's actually started to save a tenner a day, and she started coaching with me because
it's something that you really don't think about when you're in your fat times is actually the sheer amount of money that you spend on
sick
food.
Yeah, like, you know, dropping money, Aisling, like, you've said that to me before, you know, how much money do you, like, you know, spend.
Oh, like, you know? Like, thinking back, Roisin, like, sure, you could drop 6-7 euro in the morning, latte and a croissant, whatever, or
exactly.
you know, some sort of pastry. So you're up on about 7 euro in the morning. Lunchtime, you could be spending, what, 10-15 euro
yeah.
At lunch.
And with takeaways, actually.
Takeaways, then,
you
on
know?
Top of that, like, is just, yeah, nuts.
Random treats, you know?
Random treats in the house, absolutely.
Absolutely, you know, it's just mad. But it actually ends up being costly. And as I said, you know, when you're not fat, you know, as the finances stabilize out, everything feels a little bit more in control and a little bit more settled, like it's not mm-hmm. that expense. But Aisling, you know, we touched on it, you know, as regards the trips and events, and you know, you were saying, like, you feel so limited as regards you know, where you can go and what you can do. But like, this is something that comes up with all the clients, and I found the same thing. And you know, actually, a client said to me recently, Roisin, were you looking at Operation Transformation? Like, you know, they all have like this similar story of a loss of identity. Mm. And I lost myself when I got fat. I lost myself. And I definitely felt the same thing, Aisling. Like, and I, you know, because you know what the reality is? Like, if you can't, you know, if I, like, at the time, like, I was a bubbly girl, like, losing the weight. And then I couldn't be social anymore. I felt like I couldn't express my personality anymore. Yeah. Like, I felt like really trapped and so self-conscious, and you know, the whole thing, even that, Aisling, like, I like clothes, and like, I felt, as I said, I couldn't even express that part of my personality. Like, I couldn't
Definitely.
Wear my little outfits that I like to wear anymore. Like, it was down to, and then the whole thing is, Aisling, as well, like, again, like you said that big point about you lose the spontaneity to go somewhere, and that was a big deal, Aisling, because as I said, like, I used to get by on the old personality. And I remember, like, if I was asked somewhere, you know, to go on a trip with anybody, or even like, you know, I'd be like, I don't know if I have the energy to keep this like facade up. I'd be like, yeah. Oh my God, I'd be too tired. Like if I, any kind of movement trip, like, you know, there's just such a lack of, it's not even lack of identity, but the loss of freedom, as you, we've touched on this loss of freedom, yeah, in your absolutely. Body. You're like freedom is, you know, as you said, like being able to go anywhere or do anything or feel like
definitely. Your
body. You know, yeah. Your body isn't in chains. But I felt like there was no, like, I couldn't, like, even confidence to do things, Aisling, like, totally lost. I was a shadow yeah. of myself.
Yeah, you know? Absolutely. You know, but you're definitely right in what you're saying. And I felt like I could never give 100% Aisling to people. And yeah. The lack of freedom as well would even go in places. I mean, if I was ever asked yeah. to go somewhere, do you know what I always used to think was, well, wouldn't it be how amazing would it be not to have to go through the anxiety process in your head about thinking about going somewhere? What am I going to wear? What are we going to be doing? Am I able to going to fit? Am I going to be able to, you know, do the activity without kind of, you know, collapsing on the ground or gasping for air? Or am I going to, you know, am I going to be able to fit in? Or what, you know, as I said, what am I going to wear? That's a big one for a lot of people. I used to think to myself, what would it be like to be asked to go somewhere and to just be able to say yes without having to go through all of these things in your head, like, oh crap, how am I going to get out of this? Do you know that kind of a way?
Absolutely, Aisling. Like, it's so you lose yourself. Like, and I have like another client, you know, and she put it beautifully. It was like, you know, I just want to get back to being me, Roisin. I've lost me, you yeah. know, like yeah. that's like, and that is how you feel. Like, you're such limits on yourself. Like,
absolutely.
And you know, you don't, and I think even there's sometimes even a denial about it, because you don't want to even, like, the pain of realizing that is savage, isn't it though?
Yeah, absolutely. And do you know what, Roisin? Yeah. I think relationships then from yes. that is one thing that suffers from.
This is a big one, absolutely.
Yeah, because, you know, if you're constantly anxious about going places with friends, or you're constantly turning friends down, or you're making excuses because you're afraid of a situation, or you feel just too bad in yourself, relationships do suffer because of this as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Aisling, I actually lost even friends during my fat period, because I literally, now obviously they didn't know that I was struggling so much, but I became socially reclusive and not involved in them at all. Like, you know, like I wasn't doing stuff. Like, relationships, well, sure, we know, they're like, as friendships, they're like plants, you know, you have to nurture them.
Yeah,
and Aisling, do you know what the thing is, even, like, I've had clients and they would be saying, like, you know, let's say they'd say I used to do activities with my boyfriend, and you know, when I gained the weight, now I'm kind of like, I say we stay in more, they might say to their husband, no, I'm not going out because, you know, let's save some money, or I'd rather stay in. And the reality is, it's not that they'd rather stay in, it's just, or they might say, you go on ahead on your own, and they might have done stuff with their boyfriends or husbands all the time, but now they feel so fat they don't want to go with the boyfriend. And then they're freaking, because they're like, you know, what if he isn't enjoying being with me anymore? I don't do yeah. the activities I used to do, like, you know. And then there's the fear of, is he going to leave me, like, you
yeah.
know.
It creates such low self-esteem in the relationship.
Absolutely, Aisling, you know.
Yeah, and, you know, it poses all of these questions, like you said, am I good enough? Will he leave me for someone else?
Yeah.
Do I make him happy? Is he embarrassed to be out with me? Does he really like the way I look?
Absolutely.
All of these questions
stuff.
Come up.
Yeah, and you know what, like, I mean, you want, part of the beauty of being in a relationship is that you do stuff together, and that, like, you do the fun stuff together, and, you know, like, you explore new things together, but you get so limited, like, you know.
Yeah.
and it's really sad for, like, even the identity of the couple. Like, I know there's the individual people in the couple, but then there's the identity of the couple themselves. Like, it feels like a little bit broken.
Yeah.
But and that's, sorry, Aisling, you want to say something?
Oh, yeah, no, you continue on that. I have
I've one more thing this is another thing, and that's let's say the husband aspect of things, like, but then the women, like, and this is what I find when, like, you really probe down to the deep things of the women as well, like, it's even the kids, like, you know, this sadness of, like, can't run after the kids, or, like, you know, like,
yeah.
don't have energy for the kids,
no energy,
and they feel like, and this real, like, feeling of, like, they know that they're not at their their best self, and they are doing the best they can. But like, they don't have as much, like, they're not, when, like, at the end of the day, and I always say to the mums, when they're better, they're in better, they would feel, when they talk about losing the weight, they'd be like, God, if I lost the weight, Roisin, I know I'd be more confident. I know I'd be happier in a better mood for the kids and the husband, and I know I'd be able to
give more yourself.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know?
But, and, you know, and that's like the home life. You know, one thing, Roisin, that I used to suffer with relationships was, you know, with the side of friends. I mean, I would go out and hang out with my friends, and, you know, we've kind of gone through the bad feelings that are in your mind when you're with friends, like, I'm the odd one out, or I can't contribute to this conversation, or, you know, I'll just laugh my way through this one. But when I would come away from that situation and come away from hanging out with my friends, I would feel so low in myself and so depleted. Basically depleted in energy for keeping up the act, for keeping up the facade on my side that I was happy and I was laughy and jokey. And when I would come home, the only thing that would basically make, I suppose, and I know this sounds a bit dramatic, but the only thing that would make worth coming home for me and kind of pick me up a little bit or make me happy was, like, I can get a takeaway when I go home and I can be at peace. At least when I go home and I'll be by myself, I'll be at peace, and because I can get a takeaway, or I can raid the presses, and I'll, you know, I'll feel good then. So I'll just get through this period and then I can go home and eat.
Yeah. See, Aisling, that's the reality. It's the vicious cycle. Like, you want to, you have bad emotions or you feel bad in front of the friends, and then food is the only comfort. And, you know, food doesn't make you feel uncomfortable, because food doesn't have the potential to be judging you as you feel like your friends are possibly judging you, or, you know, food will never, is always welcoming, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. As we say, doesn't discriminate there and then.
It'll... And Aisling, you were saying that, and that's the thing about going home for the food, and that's the thing when I had to, like, you know, the only time when I was really socially, you know, like, withdrawn a lot of the time, like, sure, like, at the end of the day, the only time, you know, I definitely go for the comfort food. Like, the only time I'd leave the house for it, or if I had to, was, like, to get the food to give me that comfortable,
yes.
You know?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
But actually, I think, as we said, I think, like, you know, that's the thing. There's real, like, you know, this is another thing that comes up, like, you know, with the friends, is that you have this idea that, like, you know, you have the shame of, you know, even wanting to lose weight, I think, you know.
Because it's like accepting that you have a weight problem then. Do you know what I mean?
I suppose there's definitely that. And also, like, you're afraid to say, you know, the way friends, like, you know, it's not their fault, like, but they're like, you know, they'll say, like, no, you look lovely, or you don't need to lose weight, you know. Friends are uncomfortable with you being uncomfortable, so
definitely,
you know, that kind
definitely.
Of sense. Do you know what I'm saying, or am I making myself clear at all?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. In actual fact, I didn't mean to say accepting that you have a weight problem, but I think the way I meant to say that was the shame of wanting to lose weight is, like, I think it's more kind of when you put it out there, people get very awkward because friends don't want to hurt you and say, well, actually, yeah, you really do need to lose weight.
Or
people don't know what to say in that situation because they don't want to upset you or they don't want to hurt you. Even if they're thinking it, they don't want to hurt you.
But people
skirt around it. Do you know that kind of a way?
But they also nearly say, like, no, don't worry, you're perfect. And you're like, no, I'm not perfect.
Yeah, it's, you know, like, how would you feel if you were like this? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, do you know that kind of way? Like, but do you know what the other thing is? Like, you feel bad because as I said, there is such, and it is great that, you know, there is more, you know, we should be more accepting of our bodies. And I absolutely believe that. But do you know what the other side, and of course we should, Aisling. But then if you're really overweight and then people are like, you know, you're not that, like, I was like, am I terrible? Part of me thought, Aisling, I suppose, when I was trying to care about the weight, I was like, am I terrible? She's like, why am I so, like, you know, am I just being really, like, concerned with my looks and it's ridiculous, you know? And, like, I should be more, you know, caring about, it doesn't matter about my looks.
Yeah.
But you know what? Teresa made me feel a bit better about this because now I understand it. You know, we talk loads about, like, things on what's hardwired into our DNA as a woman, like, you know? And hardwired into our DNA, Teresa said, is, like, there's a high payoff for us needing to be attractive attractive, because like in, you know, Stone Age time, hunter-gatherer times, fundamentally, Aisling, if you were an attractive woman, attractive meant actually, you know, good waist-to-hip ratio and attractive to the man. And actually attractive equaled, what was optimally attractive was actually equal to optimal fertility, which actually meant optimal health. Yeah. And if you were optimally fertile, that meant an optimally healthy looking, that meant the man, a strong man, would choose you
for good offspring
and you would survive. So that's ingrained in our DNA to want to look well, Aisling, you know?
Absolutely, yes it is. And as you said there, Roisin, the hip to waist ratio is so visual. That's even if we don't want to think like that, that is actually, as you said, it is hardwired in our brain.
No more than it's hardwired actually into the men to be the most attractive to that nice waist to hip ratio, like, because that's in their DNA. Because that meant optimal fertility, you know?
Yeah,
but anyway.
Absolutely. So I think, you know, and as you said, Roisin, yes, we do have to be a little bit more accepting of our bodies, and, you know, but I think that in order to, if it's a case that you're not feeling happy within yourself and you're not feeling happy with your body, then I think that there is no shame of wanting to lose the weight or to shed the weight, you know?
Yeah, or say it out loud. Like, that's okay, but you nearly feel you can sometimes. But anyway.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, Aisling, yeah, go ahead.
So, maybe will we talk about, you know, needing help with this?
Absolutely, Aisling. The old needing help and the Irish attitude.
The old Irish mentality of do it yourself and get up and get out for a run and just eat less.
This is an interesting, when I talk to women first, and especially when they don't know what I'm about to tell them about, like, and reveal all the stuff about, like, you know, hormones, now it's not your fault, and the food stuff, and, you know, the way women are built and the way we're different to men. But the gist is, when I say it to them, they're like, you know, I just need Roisin to, you know yourself, Roisin, I'm just not working hard enough, you know, I fundamentally, you know, I'm just not exercising enough, Roisin, and, you know, I just need to do it, and you know what, it's my own fault, you know.
And if I could just go to the gym 5 times a week,
and
it'd be grand.
And I'm like, is that, and what do you think is the big thing then? And, well, do you know, Roisin, I'm just lazy, and I'm like, oh my god, and I just need to whip myself harder, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, Roisin, we're so hard on ourselves these days, so hard.
I forgot to say, like, because I just wanted to make this clear, ladies. What we're trying to say is, you know, it is so normal to need help, like, you know, isn't that it, Aisling?
That's absolutely it. And it's, we need help now more than ever.
Yeah, and like, and the Irish mentality is like, do it yourself. And this is the thing, Aisling, it's indoctrinated into us, because the reality is, like, the whole fitness industry is on, you know, you shouldn't need help, you just need to go to the gym and work harder, you just need to, like, eat less food, etc., 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 which we know is all not true now. But the gist is, like, the whole thing is, like, you're ashamed because you're, and this is the thing also, women never want to say, you know, I need help. It's like, because they feel like, well, actually it's because you know, there's something, you know, it's just that you're so lazy and, you know, you need to just do X, Y, and Z. And you don't want to even admit that you need help. But like, the thing about what I learned, you know, when, and the inner, you know, the old inner bitch comes in and starts attacking you and saying, well, you need to just do more, etc., etc., etc. But what I learned with the coaching was that, like, the old inner bitch demotivates you. Actually criticizing yourself demotivates you. And you know, and the other thing is, Aisling, I've really feel with the women is, like, you know, you feel you're not worth putting, you feel you're not worth it, almost, like, you know,
absolutely.
You're like, I don't want to need something extra and need something help, I'm not worth that, I have to give all my energy to my kids and I have to give all my energy to my husband, and I'm not, you know, I shouldn't actually need anything extra, I need to just get on with things. But Aisling, you know, like, the reality is, like, you know, you're, like, you're no good. Like, you know, I was, and also, Aisling, when I was before thinking about, I shouldn't be putting in work on myself right now, when I was talking to my coach about stuff, and I was like, my family might be struggling more than me, and I shouldn't be putting help into myself at all. And my coach was like, Roisin, you are no good to them right now. Like, a year down the line, when you have built yourself up and you've got some help, you will be great. You'll be great for your family. But right now, you need to work work on you.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, and that's one thing is that, you know, well, but this... pertains more to mothers, but it's always like a mum always comes last. Everyone else comes before mum. And we're, you know, not talking today specifically just about mums, but that especially that group of ladies is every mum that I always get on the phone and talk to is, you know, it's like, well, what do you do for yourself? And it's like, well, after everything is done with the kids and husband and everything, it's like, zero time for mums, and it's so important, Roisin, as you mentioned, to put in the time for yourself to be better all round for not just, you know, you is very, very important, but the whole family as a whole, you know?
Yeah, 100%, Aisling. And as I said, the woman is the head of the family, like, and when she's absolutely good, the family are good, the partner is good, the job is better, everything's better, you know?
Absolutely.
And Aisling, the whole thing is, like, I'm like, ladies, you know, you deserve, like Aisling, like, as I said, like, we've talked there about, like, the roughest times that we've had, like, and you know, like, you know, do you know, Aisling, it wasn't living then, like the chains we had on ourselves because of the weight and so much unhappiness. And honestly, I look back at those times now, and right now, like, you know, we've discussed them all. I know who I am now. I have freedom in my body and mind. I go into shops and I'm like, yeah, give me an outfit there, no problem. Like, there's not that stress. And I love going on holidays, and there's not this doom and gloom about, you know, feeling like, how am I going to get through to it? And like, even like, you know, I so much more self-acceptance now, like all those struggles, ladies, you deserve to feel that freedom now, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
And Aisling, do you know what? I really think, like, as I said, like, the reality is we've hashed out the stories here, ladies. And, you know, God knows we've loads more. But I think, you know, no more than we said in the last podcast, Aisling, like, to sum up, like, the struggle is so hard at this time, you know, if you've been going through this, like, overweight period, like, on the levels, like, that we've said, like physically, emotionally, psychologically. And you know what, as we said in podcast one, it's so important to know that this place that you're at, you know, this place with your weight, and you're feeling in this place, and you're feeling those things, and you feel so alone, and that there's something wrong with you. But the reality is, you know, those thoughts and feelings are so common and normal when you're in that position. And Aisling, you and I know this all too well, because not only, like, did we have those feelings, but also, like, the ladies we coach have said, as we've said throughout this podcast, they've said so many similar things, or have had so many similar emotions to anyone out there listening. So do you know what? If you're overweight right now and you do feel anything like this, or you feel that you're alone and like there's no way out, like I've said this in the first podcast, but I'm reiterating it, like, please understand that you're not alone and there is a way out. And like, as Aisling and I both struggle the same with our weight and our health, because again, Aisling, we'd all the wrong information and we were doing all the wrong things. So again, if you're in this position today, please know, like, there's nothing wrong with you. It's not that you're not doing it enough. It's not that you have a lack of willpower and you just need to cop on. It's not like that you're lazy or whatever other negative stuff you're telling yourself. The biggest problem is that you have the wrong information, and that's why we started this podcast, because we really want to tell you what, you know, what you need to know to get to where you want to be and to get to where we are now.
Yeah, absolutely, Roisin. Well said. And I think that you and I are in the unique situation in that we know what's going on with so many people. As we're, you know, we work with a lot of ladies out there on one-to-one basis.
Yeah.
But if you're going through this on your own, you think that it's only you and you alone that has these problems. But we can definitely say that so many of us have the exact same problems, the exact same feelings, and the exact same emotions.
100%, Aisling. And I think, like, that's really why we're, like, Aisling, I don't know about you, but you know the way that you weave this such a feeling of, like, I don't know, I don't want to say it's like, it's kind of like this, I feel like kind of just this relief in my chest to be able to like shed some light and provide some relief for the women out there, and like real life solutions for women out there, so that they know it's not their fault and they can finally figure out what's been going wrong, that that's not their fault, and give them solutions that actually work when it comes to these problems, you know?
Exactly. And, you know, we're not going to hold anything back in these podcasts, ladies.
No.
You know, because we've learned so much over the last few years working with women and working together from, you know, all ages and stages of life. And the first most important part when you're trying to make a change in your life is to have the right information. And that's our goal here as well, Roche, is to give all the ladies the right information so that you can make the best decisions for yourself.
Absolutely.
So if you know... Did you have anything else to add to that, Roche?
No, Ash. Ladies, I can't wait. I can't wait for you to hear the rest of the podcast, because, and just to feel finally, hear the truth about things and why none of your struggle so far has been your fault, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, these podcasts, as I said, Roisin, they're, you know, a great way for us to, make the ladies out there, you know, feel not so alone, because
not so alone. Yeah.
And as we know, it was a tough podcast today, actually, I have to say.
It was
a tough episode to do, but we managed to get through it. It's tough to have to go back through those feelings and to remember what it was like, so we know only too well what it's like when you're going through these struggles. So ladies, that's pretty much it for today's episode. And one thing that we really love is to hear from you. So, you know, if you have any questions or any concerns or anything that you'd like to add, then you can contact us at info@thehealthycoaches.com. And as I said, we really love to get emails in. And of course, if you're struggling with anything or you have any questions that, you know, you'd like to pose to myself and Roisin, then please send over any email at all to info@thehealthycoaches.com. So that is it today, Roisin.
That is it, Aisling. So excited for the next one and to get into it now.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, ladies, thanks so much for tuning in today. And for myself and Roisin, we'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye.